As the shelter-in-place order remains in effect to try and stop the spread of the coronavirus, and we spend more and more time home, sometimes alone, it can really take a toll on people's emotions. This is Lisa Berry, so we are checking in now with Dr. John Graydon, founder and director of the University of Michigan Comprehensive Depression Center and chair emeritus of the University of Michigan Department of Psychiatry. Welcome, Dr. Graydon. Should we begin by taking a deep breath together, perhaps?
Oh, I think the whole country needs a deep breath, Lisa, and thank you for having me on, and thank you for you and your colleagues for all of the educational efforts. They really are vital.
Well, thank you for joining us and sharing your knowledge and wisdom, and it seems like the moments from all of this come and go, and some days more frequently. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. it seems that's all we hear on our news media, appropriately, perhaps. I think there are two things. I mean, one, people talk about the coronavirus and what's happening and what's the spread. And the second thing, I think verified even by some of the assessments, is you start hearing terms like stress and sleep and boredom and I can't take it anymore. This impact on people's well-being is not just on the ones who get the virus. That's what has to have our attention. But there is an awful lot of psychological and depression, stress, anxiety, sleep, alcohol, et cetera, issues that we have to pay attention to.
Where do we begin? How can we cope with that? What advice can you give us?
Well, I think, first of all, we're doing it now, even on this conversation. People need to talk about these things. They need to kind of, my worries, by the way, are for a special cluster of the high target areas. One of them is those in isolation. I hate the term when everybody talks about social isolation. Social distancing is fairly crucial from a public health, but isolation, we've got to work to overcome that. Second one are those that are actually in the front lines, the healthcare workers, the first responders. They have a special need, and I think the programs are doing pretty well in trying to respond to them, but boy, talk about stress for that group. Third ones are those that have prior medical conditions, because they're reading and hearing on all of the news media, I'm the one that's going to die if I get this. And a fourth cluster are those that have really looking at or already having experienced financial loss, with people out of work. Suddenly, how am I going to live? You know, how am I going to, even with this bonus stuff that's going to come, that won't be enough to find my food supplies and my taking care of my family. What am I going to do? And it's that kind of stress that I'm hearing, and I'm sure you're hearing. And I think a final group that I really think we need to talk about is that the children home from school now in most of the states are vulnerable. I mean, all of a sudden, if we have parents and other family members who are deeply stressed, if you're 5 and 6 years old and you're kind of living in this environment and you detect everybody around you kind of in panic state, it's going to affect them too. And we've got to really pay special attention to that. So we need to talk about these things. We need to counteract the silence. And I think we're doing it. I think it's got a good start, but you're helping it.
Is there any coping strategies that you could pass along?
I think there are. And I think the ones that I would probably give is, it sounds a little bit like, no, what do we call it? Maybe grandma's advice or something. You got to watch your sleep. Go outside and walk. How about laughing a bit more? You're not eating well. Let's have some decent meals. One that I'll throw in is no alcohol after 8 o'clock p.m. if you can help it, because that destroys the sleep pattern. And even the things that are pivotal and mindfulness approaches and stuff, take that deep breath every now and then. So those who have the smartwatches, sometimes they'll vibrate and they'll say, breathe. And I think do some things to kind of divert, instead of this is pure crisis and nothing but that. see it as an opportunity. Our 12-year-old granddaughter basically said that she was going to start writing a musical about this.
I love it.
And, you know, it was a diversion,
right.
But it was a good one. And I think for those who partake in this, and it's important for those who do, spiritual linkages, staying in touch doesn't have to be risking exposure. You can do it in other ways. And then all of the stuff that's gotten an awful lot of publicity but is really very helpful, set up those. If it's a phone, make the phone. But otherwise, use Zoom. Use Blue Jeans. Use whatever. But connect and do it with some large groups. I've noticed that when the large groups do it, everybody laughs a bit more, and there's some humor that evolves. And I think those are at least, that's grandma's advice, but those are at least the practical, almost preventive things. There are, for some people, there are more serious things, and we could talk about those if you wanted, the ones who really do get depression and wonder whether life is going on living, et cetera.
Right. What is the impact on people already dealing with their psychological health? I'm assuming this is just compounding that?
This is very much compounding it for that group. And of course, that's what makes depression and bipolar illness and the related disorders that go along with it. That's what makes them so important, because they're prevalent. I mean, they impact 16-17% of our population in her lifetime. And I think if somebody has already had these things, what we don't want to see is this incremental stress from the coronavirus set off new episodes. And that's why I think preventive things are really important. And that's actually where family members also enter in. They've probably gone through these things with a parent or a child or a spouse before, and they know the symptoms. And so that's where, hey, how are you doing? This hasn't been such a great week. You're irritable, you're quiet, you're withdrawing. We should talk. I know it's a terrible time, but maybe we ought to just hook in on some of these video things with some people with your doctor. And if you want to sit down, I'll sit with you. We'll talk together. But I think just the encouragement to make it okay to get help if there are flare-ups is pretty important.
Sounds like you're saying talk it out. Or is it also a matter of knowing somebody is there for you as well, so we should reach out?
I think both. I think knowing somebody is there for you is crucial. And frankly, access, being realistic, because I believe all of us, by the way, need to be truthful and talk about these risks, not only of the consequences of this coronavirus pandemic, but also just being realistic. We need to talk about these on an individual level. And right now, it's hard to find appointments. I mean, people have focused on the virus and on diverting care and appropriately to these needs. But what about the ones who suddenly can't sleep, are stressed, anxious, irritable, having thoughts of suicide? And what do people do about those circumstances when it's not very easy to even get an appointment? And happily, video health has kind of moved in to fill some of the void, but we've got to pay attention to that group.
How do we approach this? I mean, sometimes I get a little more anxiety when I look at the big picture, and then I tell myself, just take it one day at a time or 1 hour at a time. What is your advice, Dr. Graydon?
I think your phrase, in the one day at a time, and it's even 1 hour at a time, and grandma's advice, you know, walk, sleep, avoid doing it, though, if you can, with just nighttime sedative hypnotics. But I think where we're at is almost creating a climate of support around people who are especially vulnerable, if that's the ones you're focusing on. And I think this message of I'll help and I'm here for you makes it you don't feel so alone. way back in World War II, this just popped into my head now, we had Rosie the Riveter, and we were idolizing those who kind of filled a void. Maybe we can make one up now. Maybe we have Millie or Mike and mindfulness or something like that, because your advice about really just jumping in a day at a time and going back to the things that traditionally worked really need to be activated for those who have the special stresses and the depressions that are there right now. Using the terms, by the way, doesn't make it worse. It just cuts down on the stigma. And television has been doing that, and you have. I mean, the NPR and the others are doing a very good job of being frank and open about all of these things. The idea being not to become a therapist, but to do all of the common sense things that one would do for anybody that they recognize is stressed. And we can do this.
I think that is solid advice. Create a climate of support. Dr. John Graydon, founder and director of the University of Michigan Comprehensive Depression Center, thank you so much for sharing your input and advice with us here on 89.1 WEMU.
Lisa, thank you for the opportunity. We can win this fight.